So today we're the second in a little series called Working Life. So last week we looked at the good news about the God's good design for work at creation. This week is the bad news, I'm afraid, so how work has gone wrong since the fall. So we're looking at trouble at work. The passage is printed inside your sheets, Genesis 3. And before we look at that, I'll pray for us. Lord, thank you that we saw last week what a wonderful gift work is and its place in our lives in your good creation design. And this week, Lord, as we look at how the fall has affected our work, please help us as we look at what your word says. And please help us in particular with whatever pressures we are under at the moment in the workplace. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 3:16. To the woman God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've produced a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. Well, the woman had booked the dream holiday in Spain. Pictures in the brochure were stunning, this beautiful apartment by the sea in a quiet village. But when she got there, she found there was a building site right next door and there was a lovely noise of pneumatic drills going on day and night. And the apartment balconies were so close together that when their neighbours were out on their balcony having a fag, they could see into their apartment. Reality, far cry from the images in the glossy brochure. Now, if you've not had that experience on holiday, you may well have had that experience at work. So last week, we looked at God's good creation design for work in Genesis 1 and 2. And we saw that we were created by God to rule the world under him. And that work was one expression of this rule. And so Adam would have leapt out of bed on a Monday morning, punching the air, excited about the prospect of another week at work in which to serve the Lord in the work of the garden. Work was pure joy. Now, is that your experience? Idyllic brochure, but we live now in a fallen world. And we need to understand how the fall has affected our work. Because otherwise we're going to have unrealistic expectations about work and we may well feel guilty. You know, I must be doing something wrong because I'm finding work hard going. So on your sheet here, I put down six perspectives from Genesis about work in a fallen world. Firstly, work has become painful occupation. So in Genesis 3, when God judged the man for his sin, his work was directly affected. So 3:17, God said, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. So work became painful toil. His job was to work and to keep the garden, but now the ground is cursed, and thorns and thistles grow, and work is hard sweat. In a fallen world, working life, it is jolly hard going. I mean, do you leap out of bed on a Monday morning, punching the air, shouting, yippee, off to work again, you know, another week? You know what it's like? You spend months working on some IT project, budget gets pulled, the whole thing's for nothing. It's frustrating. You know, things go wrong. It's hard to get things done in the time available. That's stressful. And rather than ruling through our work, we may at times feel that we are ruled over by work and overwhelmed by the pressures of it. Pain entered the work of the garden and also the work of the home. So verse 16, to the woman God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So God's judgment fell on this work too. Bringing children into the world and bringing them up would now be fraught with pain. So not just a delight, but also exhausting, discouraging, and full of heartache, as sometimes children don't turn out as you want. You know, just think of the sorrow that Cain and Abel caused mum and dad. And this whole project of cultivating a marriage would become as hard as cultivating the ground. So verse 16, God said, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And it's speaking of the battle of the sexes. So work is now bittersweet. God's good design, it's not ripped up and discarded, but it is now messed up and distorted. And as Christians, we are to serve God in the work of the garden, in the work of the home, and we may find joy, we may find satisfaction in that, but there will also be pain and difficulty. And so if you're struggling at the moment with work, it's not that you're odd, it's not that you're spiritually immature. Work is hard, and we need to look to God for help, and we need to look to one another for support. Second factor is fatal conclusion. Verse 19, God said, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Death entered the world, and this was another part of God's judgment on human rebellion. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So made to rule the earth, made to work the ground, but now one day, each of us will be ruled over by the ground, and we will be swallowed up by it, as our dead bodies are lowered in a coffin or a casket. And that fatal conclusion to our lives, it affects our work. It overshadows our work. It stamps our work with a futility which wasn't there in the Genesis 1 and 2 brochure. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2 says, all is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. You slog away for 40 years in a job. For what? You know, our work can seem so important at the time, we get so stressed about it, but that software that you're developing, the cases you're working on, the deals that you've sorted out, when you're old and you're facing death, looking back, how important will they seem then? In Greek mythology, Sisyphus was someone who was condemned by the gods to forever roll a boulder up a mountain, only to see it roll back down again and again. And there is something of that in work now in the face of death. Another day, another dollar. Same tasks again and again. As soon as you empty the inbox or the in tray, up it fills again. And what will any of it matter when you're dead? I mean, I felt this when I was teaching French and German for a while. And, you know, many of the kids weren't the slightest bit interested, and I could see the point. You know, I could sympathize with them. So what if they can now order a beer in German? Most of them were never going to go to Germany in their lives. The death factor, it does affect our work, even as Christians. So we live and work in a creation which is now subjected to futility and bondage to decay. That's Romans 8. And so work will now always have this sense of futility in the background. But we need to hold on to what we saw last week. Work is still part of God's good design. We still need to do it. And as Christians, it has value and meaning as we do it for the Lord and do it to serve Him. Number three is sinful relations. When we get on to chapter 6, verse 5, we read this. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In a fallen world, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. So our hearts are now sinful, they're rebellious. And that corruption within is worked out in our relationships. So at the end of our passage in chapter 4, verse 8, anger in Cain's heart spills over into murder of his brother Abel. So the sin in our hearts, it affects our relationships with others. Now, if I was to ask you, what do you find the hardest thing about work? Would you say the work itself? Or would you say it's actually the relationships at work? Maybe a bit of both. Now, you may have fantastic colleagues, but sin, as it's expressed in our relationships, that can be a massive source of stress at work. The gossip, the slander, the rivalry, the envy, the selfishness, the unkindness, the harassment, the office politics, which is, you know, people manipulating other people to get what they want. And, I don't know, sometimes there can be a particular relationship at work which causes you no end of grief. So maybe just one person who seems to have it in for you, someone you don't get on with, someone you just dread bumping into. And these sinful relations, they can affect work not just at the individual level, but also at the corporate level. Do you remember the late Steve Jobs saying that he wanted to destroy Android and he would spend all of Apple's money and his dying breath if that is what it took? So he regarded Android as being a stolen product and he was filled with animosity in his heart. Now, if he was right about Android, we see sin there, don't we, in that someone has stolen someone else's idea. But we also see it in his response, in wanting to destroy them for it. Now, this is the world in which we live and work. And if we're Christians, we will see these things in our own hearts as well. But as God's people, we are called to be different. The people we are, the way that we relate at work, is supremely important. So it matters more than the actual work that we do. The project you're working on at the moment, in the end that may be for nothing. Budget may get pulled. But what will endure is how we've done that work and how we've related to others at work. Fourth factor is godless ambition. When we get to Genesis 11... we find human beings working together on a really impressive project. This is what it says in Genesis 11, verse 3. Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. So there's development in technology. As people figure out how to make bricks, and then they figure out how to stack these bricks together and make cities and make this tall tower. It's all very impressive. But listen to how verse 4 goes on. Let us build a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Notice there's no concern for God's name. It's all about making a name for themselves. And this ambition to build a tower with its top in the heavens, it suggests not the desire to get to God, but rather the desire to replace God. We will ascend to the heavens. We will be God. And so in a fallen world, work can become an expression of proud rebellion against God. Yet look at what man can do. We can put people on the moon. We can split the atom. And of course, those are great achievements, but they're now distorted into, we can do anything, we don't need God. You know, man the measure of all things. And at the individual level, you know, look at what I can do. Look at what I've achieved. my education, my qualifications, my position in the company. I don't need God. I am God. And once we leave God out, this whole tower building project becomes a new integrating center of life. So instead of living for God, we live for work. It's what people look to for their meaning and their value and their sense of worth. Now, what God thinks of this, we see in Genesis 11, verse 8, where it says this: the Lord God dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. So in God's judgment, people were scattered, their languages were confused. But did people just give up building towers from that point on in history? Well, presumably after this, what happened is you had lots of individuals scattered around who were trying to build their own little towers. So no longer working together, but instead each seeking to make a name for themselves. And isn't that what you see in working life today? People building their own little tower, their own little empire, to make a name for themselves. They're not working to serve God, not working to serve other people, but working to serve themselves, working for their own glory and reputation and promotion. Driven by this ambition to make their tower that little bit bigger than the next person's. Verse in Ecclesiastes 4:4 says, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind." Now, this godless ambition in the workplace can make it a difficult environment. So if people are committed to making a name for themselves and building their own tower, then you've got rivalry. And if people have made work the center of their life in place of God, well, of course, they're going to have very different priorities to the Christian. And they simply won't understand it when a Christian says, "Sorry, guys, I need to go now because I've got other things in life which are important, which are even more important. Yeah, I've got a church family that needs me. I've got a group to get to. I've got a spouse, the kids maybe as well, who need me. I'm not living for work. Yeah, I'm living for God." Now, people whose lives are centered on work will think you've lost the plot when you say that. And you may well lose the promotion because of it as well. But as Christians, we also need to beware the same godless ambition. That we are to work to serve God. We are not to work to make a name for ourselves, not to replace God with the center as the center of our lives. Number five is unfair conditions. When we get to Genesis 31, Jacob is working for a guy called Laban, and his working experience makes for pretty sobering reading. You may just want to turn on to this just so you can see it for yourself. So Genesis 31 on page 31. So it's easy to find. Sorry, we're flicking a little bit through Genesis rather than just sticking in the one passage, but it's Genesis 31 on page 31, verse 40. So Jacob says, looking back, 31:40, "There I was, by day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I've been in your house, and I've served you for 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks. And you changed my wages 10 times. Working life for Jacob, that's what it was. Looking after Laban's flock, pretty hard going. Sweltering by day, freezing by night. And repeatedly cheated by his employer who kept changing his wages. Now, working life in a fallen world can be very unfair. And God's people are not exempt from this. So you may have an unfair boss. A boss who doesn't appreciate the work you do, a boss who maybe takes credit for the work you do, a boss who makes unreasonable demands. Jacob could say, "Been there, got the T-shirt." 20 years is a long time. How on earth do you keep going as a man or woman of God in that kind of situation? Well, in verse 42 he says, "If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. But God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands, and he rebuked you last night." So Jacob kept going because he trusted that the Lord was on his side. And later in Genesis, at the end of his life, he looks back and he says, God has been my shepherd all my life long. If you're being unfairly treated at work at the moment, hold on to this fact that God knows, God sees, God is on your side, and he has not forgotten you. You may even be unfairly treated because you are a Christian. Now, that was Joseph's experience later in Genesis. That as a man of God, man of integrity, Joseph resisted the advances of his boss's wife, who was trying to seduce him. This is Genesis 39. The boss's wife retaliates by falsely accusing him. He loses his job. He winds up in prison. Can be costly making a stand for God in the workplace. But we're to do it knowing that God is with us, and that ultimately as we do this, we follow in the footsteps of Christ himself. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes to Christian slaves in this situation. In 2:20 he says, if when you do good and you suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you. So Christ suffered unjustly, didn't retaliate, but he continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. So it's not wrong to go to HR, but it's even more important that we go to God. Now, if you're being unfairly treated at work at the moment, that can be a huge stress and a burden to carry, but this is telling us you're in good company. Jacob, Joseph, Jesus himself. So don't become bitter and resentful, but do tell Christian friends so they can support you and pray for you. Well, the final piece in this Genesis jigsaw of work in a fallen world is bitter oppression. In Genesis 15, verse 13, the Lord tells Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants or slaves there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. So God's people would become slaves in Egypt. And when we get to the beginning of Exodus, we're given an idea of what working life was like for them. Exodus 1:13, if I just read this to you. It says, so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves. They made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Working life for God's people in Egypt was a nightmare. Enslaved by ruthless masters who made their lives bitter. In a fallen world, work is that bad for some people. You know, they're exploited by ruthless people. They're working in appalling conditions. They're doing long hours for pitiful pay, and there is no way out. And work for them is a million miles away from the picture in the glossy brochure in Genesis 1 and 2. And it puts our hardships at work in perspective. I've put up on the screen there a very well-known photo by Sebastião Salgado of workers in a gold mine in Brazil. I mean, just imagine for a moment if that was your daily work. It is for many people. Think of those around the world working in sweatshops. Think of the tens of thousands of people in this country, mostly foreign, often employed illegally, working for ruthless gang masters in food factories, living in Dickensian conditions, subject to violence to enforce the regime. It's happening in places like Cambridgeshire, an hour up the M11 from here. In one case, the employer had provided accommodation in partitioned containers with no water supply for the workers, and rent and transport costs were deducted from their pay. And so one person was paid £83.35 for a week's work and was charged £80 rent. Now, citizens' advice bureaus around the country have catalogued a huge number of cases like this. The Lord hears the cries of the oppressed, and he is coming in judgment on their oppressors. James 5 verse 4 says to the oppressors, behold the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. And to God's people, suffering such bitter oppression, James urges them to be patient until the coming of the Lord. But shouldn't we also be seeking justice now as well for those who are oppressed in their work? Psalm 82 verse 3 says, maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Lord Shaftesbury in 19th century Victorian England, he dedicated his life to relieving the sufferings of millions in their work. So it was because of him that women and children were excluded finally from the horror of working in the coal mines. It was because of him that factory working hours were limited to 10 hours. It was because of him that a stop was put to the evil practice of sweep sending these climbing boys, as they were called, naked up chimneys. And maybe there's something that we should be doing as well in the situation today. So we've seen last week that work is not bad. It was ordained by God before the fall. It's part of God's good design, part of how we're to serve God in his world. But we've seen this week that this world is now a fallen world. And because of that, our work is now fraught with all sorts of challenges and hardships. And so as Christians, when we find any enjoyment and satisfaction in our jobs, we should give thanks to God for that. When we find work hard, we need to keep doing it for him. We need to pray. We need to persevere. We need to be godly. We need to support one another. And we need to look to the world to come. In the age to come, God promises, in Isaiah 65, 22, he promises that my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. But for now, work is going to be bittersweet. And if you're not a Christian, it may well be that, as with the Tower of Babel, it may well be that work has become the center of your life in place of God. And you maybe sense the futility of that. That is a life which is out of line with reality and under God's judgment. God is the center of the universe, and he needs to be the center of our lives. And so even today, God calls us to reorder our lives around him and to trust in him and to live for him. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your word is realistic about work now in a fallen world. And whichever of these six factors we're particularly struggling with ourselves at the moment, we pray that if we are your people, that we would look to you and we would seek to serve you and we would ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.